Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shift change. Joel Nelson is now behind the glass as Matty Ice has left. Joel, always good to have you here. Hope you're having a nice weekend. I know you've been a busy guy, so thanks for chipping in as always. 412-928-9370. That is the number of the program. I want to remind you, our show is brought to you by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Ride in style with number one Cochrane. Also, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House, and PNC Bank. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. We're talking about last night's Steeler game. They did not make routine plays routinely. As a result, they made sloppy plays. It contributed to their downfall. Mistakes that you really simply cannot have in both special teams, offense, and defense. Defensively picked apart by C.J. Stroud on the touchdown pass to Tank Dell. They go down the field and miscommunication everywhere, missed tackles everywhere. So that's the kind of stuff you don't want to see, but it is one preseason game. We also saw a new kickoff part of the game, which they call dynamic, which was not dynamic. It was rather mundane, to be honest. They're trying things to make that play viable again. Is that the way to go? Let me know what you think at 412-928-9370. We're also talking about, if you want to talk more Ayuk, fine. It's getting old, but we can do that. And we're talking about the Pirates fading. The ship is going under. It's taking on water big time. And they lost again last night. Mitch Keller had a rough third inning, gave up a 448-foot home run to Shohei Ohtani, his 35th of the year, a lineup that just does not stop coming at you. And he would just, he walked the ninth hitter. You cannot do that in any lineup, especially one like the Dodgers. And if you do that, you're going to pay the price. He did. There was a check swing, excuse me, hit there by Will Smith that brought home two. But the bottom line is that lineup is too good. 40 pitches in the third, and that was the end of that. And they lose 9-5. The only good thing, Joey Bart hit a three-run home run. He's your starting catcher moving forward. So the question now is, what do you do with Henry Davis? And what do you do with O'Neill Cruz if he can't play short defensively well enough? 412-928-9370. Let's go to the lines, shall we? Joel Nelson, begin with Ryan in New Jersey. Hey, Ryan, how are you? Ryan.
On the call last night. Yeah, you got me, Bob?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, it was good to hear you call. I love hearing you do the preseason games. Kid was ruining it for a long time last night, too. That was nice.
Thank you.
And I know I called you to talk about the status of the Pens and the contracts and lack of information and that ridiculous Malkin thing that came out a couple weeks ago. Somebody down there. I'm kind of down on where they're at. And Crosby, I think, will sign. If I were him, I would not. I don't think it's in his best interest because he's never played on a losing team basically his entire life. And that's what the Pens are going to be for the next few years. So I would appreciate if he finishes out his tour. But I don't know if it's what's best for him. So that's just my take.
Well, I will say this. I'm surprised this has taken as long as it's taken. And I don't know what that means other than normally this would be fait accompli.
Right.
But so far we haven't heard anything about it whatsoever. So that's a little bit concerning.
Yeah. But before I let you go, I know you're a man of all sports. I wanted to know what your opinion on the Olympics has been, because I have to tell you, there's nothing like the Olympics. Ever since, you know, 1984 was my first memories, but I guess a little bit from 1980. But 1984, you know, was just something that everybody my age just kind of still has stuck in their mind. This Olympics has been fantastic. I've loved what the French did as far as using historic sites for the venues. I think that was a fantastic idea. It was probably cheaper to do it that way as well, to build, you know, the Equestrian Center at Versailles, which was amazing, and the volleyball underneath the Eiffel Tower, which I also thought was amazing. But this really bodes well going into 2028, which is going to be, you know, the repeat of 84. And then the U.S. has the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake again, I think a couple cycles beyond that. So the Olympics were kind of like dead to rights. You know, that one in Rio was an embarrassment as far as just awful looking. I just love the fact that they've kind of come back on the stage here in the international competition.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there are too many things. I'm impressed by a lot of stuff at the Olympic Games. I am. I'm watching volleyball right now, the regular volleyball indoors. I love the beach volleyball outside. I still don't understand how they get traction in sand like that with only two players and cover as much ground as they do. Gymnastics is fun. Basketball is fun. Yeah. There are a lot of things I do not understand, like breakdancing. I admire people who do it.
That's terrible. That's the worst thing on earth. I don't know why they show. It makes me angry when I see the breakdancing. I don't get it. But, you know, a couple things. I mean, there's just a different level when it's international. Scheffler breaking down on the medal stand was just a moment. I mean, that to me, I love that. My kids row, so the fact that they're giving the flag, one to Katie Ledecky, one to one of the rowers who won that four, which they weren't supposed to, they had no business being in there, and they just shot out of a cannon and took that race. I mean, these are the things that you love, because you love these memories. You know, the moments are what I love about the Olympics, and that basketball game against Serbia
had them down 17 points. I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to lose to this team, and Jokic is going to go on. But they came back, and what a shooting performance by Steph Curry. That was Steph Curry Serbia, vintage 2015.
Serbia has a lot of guys who play on the same team. I noticed that when I scanned the roster. So they play in Europe, but they play on the same team. They have a couple of NBA All-Stars. They were like an NBA Finals great team the way they played. That was honestly one of the best basketball games I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, and you'll see another one today, Ryan. I got to move along. But they got France today. Yeah, thank you. And I want to see Victor Wembanyama. But I don't know if they have enough to deal with what the USA has. Now, there's some insurrection going on there, internal fighting with – you know, the fact that Steve Kerr did not use Jason Tatum at all, and there was some criticism by LeBron James and others. So that'll be interesting, and that's coming up later today. I thought the golf was fascinating. I just think there are too many sports here to keep track of. The ones I really enjoy, I really enjoy. All right, let's go out to AJ in Natrona Heights. Hello, AJ. How are you?
Good day, Bob. How are you? Could be better based on the first half last night. I just want to narrow it down to something you recently mentioned about the Stroud to Dell down the seam touchdown. And what I want to say is arm tackles. That's what I'm seeing, and that's troubling. They should know better than that, no?
Oh, yeah, just the tackling in general was not good, and neither was the communication back there. They had too many guys in the vicinity who could have made a play on that before he ever got to the end zone, and he didn't.
I just feel like James Harrison was at camp. I still believe there is a reason to believe when you are a Steeler how to tackle, how to set the tone, you know. And when I see the arm tackles, that's alarming.
Well, yeah, and thank you for the call, AJ. I think, you know, they had guys in there who you won't see a lot of, like Jalen Elliott. Like, you know, Ryan Watts is a rookie. I thought he played pretty well. They also had people you'll never hear from again, like Jacoby Winman. And Easton Gibbs. So, I mean, you got to remember, they weren't playing a lot of their mainstay guys in there. They're trying to get a look at guys to add to their depth, and I think that's all part of the overall evaluation. 412-928-9370. What do you think of the kickoff? Was it dynamic enough for you? Let's go to George in Latrobe. Hey, George, what's up?
Bob, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. Just your insight on the Steelers utilizing Justin Fields out of the backfield or the slot, either that would give him a run pass option or even as a receiver.
Well, I think what you're going to see once Russell Wilson gets in there, and yes, I still think it's his job regardless, is you're going to have to utilize his talent somewhere. And I know Arthur Smith is smart enough to realize that guy has an ability to do some special things. So you have to incorporate him. Not a lot, but in certain areas. If he's not going to be a quarterback, to me, he's got to be utilized. He's too talented not to. So whatever that looks like, we will see. As far as his quarterbacking last night, I think they wanted to keep him in the pocket, see what he did with delivering down the field. The best completion was to Van Jefferson when he stayed in the pocket and delivered to the sideline, a nice throw. So they want to see more of that. They know what his feet can do. They want to see what his arm can do.
It's just they're hurting for receivers. So using him as an option there might.
Well, they're not. I don't think that they're gonna make a deal for somebody. I just got to believe they're gonna bring somebody else in here. And whether it's Ayuk or anyone else, they need help there in that department. Roman Wilson did not play last night. I think he's a guy who can help, but he was injured.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, George. You do the same at 412-928-9370. Brian is on the line right now, line 5. What's up, Brian? How are you?
How are you doing, Bob? Great
good.
Show.
Appreciate it.
I just want to say that I would rather see a preseason game with all them mistakes like yesterday than a perfect one like last year, because you get to see chemistry start to be built. Those guys haven't played with each other. Those rookies haven't played with each other. Fields hasn't worked with Herbig or Frazier. You're going to see the same thing with Wilson. You're going to see little mistakes like that. But you could see that the offense is more of a pro-style offense now. Arthur Smith knows how to use Fields' capabilities. I think he's going to show the same thing with Russell Wilson. The running backs ran hard, and the line actually got pushed yesterday. And as far as the defense goes, when you're missing all pros and pro bowlers not playing because it's preseason, you're getting what you want. You're allowing guys that you want to take a look at to work. And Cordell Patterson better watch out, because this Ward kid's pretty good.
Yeah, they signed off on his physical status, Cordero Patterson. So at one point he'll be in there. He's too good not to be. Yeah, listen, they need reps. A lot of these, they've reconstructed their offensive line altogether. They need help in a lot of positions, and they're trying to – and I agree with what you said. I wouldn't put too much stock in any of this, and I think we should have learned last year that people got ahead of themselves with what this offense can look like. The one thing that's different, Arthur Smith has incorporated, number one, a fullback, more so than at any time during Matt Canada's stage, and it's only one preseason game. But second of all, they use play action that comes from a run game. The Steelers will have a good running game with both Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris. Therefore, play action should be more of a regular, you know, under center – play fake, look down the field. We didn't see that a lot at all under Canada. And that's, to me, you know, you say pro-style play, but that's a play that you have when you have a good running game and you can make it work in your pass game.
Absolutely. And that play to Kelvin Austin that Kyle Allen missed was probably the best designed play I've seen in, I don't know, 10
great
years
design. He needs a mulligan on that one. That throw is too high. You need an O'Neal Cruz over there to pick that one up. Anyway, thanks for the call, Brian. I appreciate it. Let's go back out to the lines. We have Rob, who joins us in Chicago, the former home of Justin Fields. And Rob, I'm anxious to see what you thought of his performance last night.
Efficient. I just saw some highlights, but you know, I think they kept it low risk, kept it efficient. But my call was to talk about the Pirates, and my beef is with Derek Shelton. It's a popular topic to beat up on him. But my philosophy with him is at some point in time, you got to make chicken salad without chicken. And to use a Steeler reference, you look back in 1984, Chuck Knoll in the last game of the season got a 9-7 Steeler team to the AFC Championship game. In 89, if it wasn't for a bad snap, they almost went to the AFC Championship game again after starting out, 0-2 and getting outscored 91-10. So, yeah, you know, Derek Shelton's got some talent there, but it's woefully underachieving. You know, don't get me wrong, some of these guys aren't that good to begin with, but I just don't see them going any further under this guy. If the Pirates had a guy like
what
Jones
about the GM? You're excluding the GM here. Has he done enough in his 5 years to make you think that he's capable of taking it to the next level?
Not really, too. But then again, I look at his hands are tied as well. He's he could have made better trades at the deadline, but, you know, Nutting insists that he stay under payroll. So, I mean, but at the same point in time, I just see some of Derek Shelton's lineups. I see some of the things he does, and they just make you want to just pound your head in the, you know, pound your forehead with a ball peen hammer, and they drive you nuts.
Yeah, I don't like those lineups. I don't. I think they have, and thanks, Rob, for the call. I'm up against the break here. They need to figure out, they need people to be able to play positions. That's what they need. And they have a lot of guys who don't have a position to play. And you can't have more than one designated hitter. Joey Bart was a great pickup. By far the best thing Ben Cherington has ever done, I think. For nothing, basically. And he's now showing you that he could be the guy that was the number two overall pick. They've got to get Henry Davis right. They have to find a place for him. They have to get O'Neill Cruz better defensively if they're going to play him at shortstop. They have to get Key Brian Hayes. I don't know if it's hitting coach. Is it Andy Haynes? Is it the guy they fired who was helping Key Brian Hayes? Is it his back? Whatever the case may be. I cannot continue with a third baseman who wins gold gloves but cannot hit. It just can't happen at a power position when you constantly rotate first baseman. And you're not sure what you're going to get from that position either. The outfielders, there's only one reliable one, quite frankly, and that's Brian Reynolds. You need help there. Can Davis play there? We saw a little bit. Can he get better? If so, if his bat lives, I'll play him anywhere. That's what they got to do at 412-928-9370. I'm still looking for someone to talk about the dynamic kickoff. What did you think? 412-928-9370. More calls are on the way. First, I want to remind you that our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Also, 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM, and AM 1020 KDK, as well as WAMO 107.3, are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the 2024-25 school year. They provide stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh 4Ops Backpack Drive, presented by Frank Walker Law. Visit the link on the homepage at 93.7thefan.com. Support as an individual or group get together, and they need support. Help ensure a good start to the school year for local kids. It's brought to you by MediConnect. We'll be back with more of your calls until 1 o'clock right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Brought to you by Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Shendorovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call on KDK Plus and here on 93.7 The Fan, as well as Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about at Iron Rock. 412-928-9370. That's the number to call as we get you up till 1 o'clock. And is this right? We got Nick Harry Callis. Is he going to be doing the 1 to 5 shift today, Joel?
That's correct, Bob.
Is that his debut, his maiden voyage? Or has
he had that same spot last week as well.
Okay. Well, good for him. Hear him for 4 hours coming up. In the meantime, we're talking about the Steelers kickoffs. I'd like to get somebody talking about this kickoff. I didn't see much about it that made me think it's going to change starting positions for offenses, but maybe you saw something different. Do you like it? Do you not like it? 412-928-9370. Let's go to Jim in Jefferson. He's first up. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
You know, I don't really like that. And I to me, it takes a lot of exciting aspects out of one-third of the game. You know, it's football. The football is supposed to be kicked now and then. You know, and to
well,
me,
they still kick it. It's just how they're kicking it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's not the changes, the effects of the weather on the kicking game, et cetera. And other thing is, my question is this, and I still don't understand how that works. What about an onside kick, especially at the end of the game?
Well, you can do it only if you trail and only if you alert the other team that you're going to do it.
Oh, give me a break. Well, that takes all the excitement out of it.
I know. And I thought, you know, you go back to the Super Bowl where Cowher was in with Dallas, 1995. Remember that Super Bowl? We started the second half with a surprise onside kick. You can change the whole dynamics of a game with a strategy pick like that. But, you know, here's the thing. Number one, it's a safety element to this. They've gotten too many lawsuits. They want to reduce concussions. They believe this can do it because nobody can get a running start. They all have to stand still before you can engage. And then the other thing is they think there's going to be some plays out of it. I don't know how you're going to get much in terms of long returns. The other leagues that have used it have gone away from it after they used it for 1 year.
Exactly. It's to me, it stinks. It takes, like I say, it takes one-third of the strategies in the one-third of the game out, many of them. And again, the surprise onside kick, the onside kick at the end of the game, it's going to be very difficult to execute one if they know exactly what you're going to do.
Well,
and
I think
hard to get it's hard to get anybody past that gauntlet of players. In fact, I heard one of the teams was talking about they're not going to have the kicker kick the ball. They're going to have one of the defenders, like a safety or a cornerback, kick the ball because he can probably kick at that distance, and then you've got another fast defender that's able to make a tackle in there to stop that running, the return man from coming through that gauntlet. It's just a bad idea. I don't know where they come up with that. But again, safety, I guess, is the thing. But to me, I don't like it at all.
Thank you, Jim. I think a lot of you agree, and I think the percentages would dictate that. Let's find out what Andy in Peters Township has to say about it. What's up, Andy? How are you?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good.
So I'm all about safety, and I get it and everything, but the dynamic kickoff was anything but dynamic. So the point is to protect a defenseless receiver, if I'm not mistaken. But don't you have the same thing when you got a punt return? I mean, the punt return guy is still a defenseless receiver. Why aren't we doing anything to help him out, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that it's the receiver they're talking about. It's some of the contact that happens when you're running down the field, the gunners hitting people with full strength, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, listen, all I know is that I think if you're going to make it a play, then you have to make it a play. If you don't want to make it a play, then just do it away. Don't even have it. Start everybody at the same yard line, and that's the way it goes. I don't know what else you can do. Maybe we'll find out that there are going to be some surprise elements. There are going to certainly be some strategies employed. We tried to see that last night when Fairbear tried to squib when he missed this so-called landing zone, and the penalty is you get it at the 40-yard line. But
right.
I don't know. I want to see more of it, I guess, but there's a part of me that probably wants to see less of it too.
Yeah, I got one question. I thought I saw one player on the Steelers wearing the Guardian cap.
Yeah, that was James Daniels, yes.
Do you think that's going to catch on, or where do you think that's going?
I think you'll see more, yeah, if they believe it could help them, you know, prevent head trauma. Yeah, I they're using it in practice a lot. Now they're allowed to put it in the games. I was kind of looking around, and I hadn't seen it he was in so quickly, I didn't notice it, but he did wear one. So I think you may see more of it. It depends on the comfort zone with the people who are wearing it.
All righty. Thanks, Bob. Have a good day.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Bob in Steubenville. Next up. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Nothing. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Hey, quick question. I didn't get to see the game, and if you touched on it, I apologize. But how did Beanie Bishop play? And I got a Pirates comment too after that.
Yeah, he did okay. I mean, he made some plays. He's certainly up for the moment. He was doing gunning duties on punt returns, and they were looking to find people to replace the guys they'd utilized last year. I believe it was Miles Boykin and James Pierre. So they need people like that. He was a willing participant. I think he did fine. I mean, he's an undrafted guy who's open eyes in camp. Two more games to go.
Been hearing a lot about it. I just wondered how he did. Comment on the Pirates. A lot of that was Shelton. I think he's cost them a few games. I mean, just his decision.
Well, there's no question, especially when it comes to bullpen handling and putting guys in or removing guys or not willing to remove guys or – whatever the case may be. I'm not a big fan, and I've said this before, and it's not just him, but everyone who employs it. Where do we get to this point where only pitchers come in for one inning and one inning only? You know, there was a time when Aroldis Chapman used 8 pitches in one inning, and he was striking people out with 105-mile-an-hour stuff. Why shouldn't he go out for the next inning if he has that kind of stuff? And by doing so, you bring in somebody else, and that game goes away from you. So, this whole metric thing and protecting shoulders and safety in sports, okay, I get it, but it sometimes it ruins the moment for me.
It's backfiring on him a lot. And like you said that with Chapman, and Chapman's been in bigger situations and on better teams than what he's playing on now. And, I mean, yeah, he kind of lost it early in the year. He's having trouble hitting a strike zone, but he's lights out right now. And then Shelton, he set De La Cruz down the other night, and didn't pitch any when you could have used him.
And there was all the bunting controversy where Isaiah Kiner Falefa laid one down, popped it up, and people were wondering, why don't you just have him swing away as your best hitter? I mean, you're going to get those kind of decisions in every baseball game. There are thousands of those that have to be broken down.
One other thing real quick, and you were saying the player, you know, they need to find positions for the players. You know something that hurt them too? When Gonzalez went down, I mean, he was hitting good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pick up IKF, and, you know, I'm thinking in my head, well, there you go. You're solving getting Hayes out of third base now, because I don't know if Gonzalez can play over there, but IKF can. So Gonzalez is playing second and play IKF at third, and you get Hayes out of the, you know, out of there. Or, you know, the other guy. So,
well, they're not going to get Hayes out of anywhere given the money they owe him. So that's not going to happen.
I know that. I just meant out of not starting him is what I meant. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, okay, hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, Bob, anytime. 412-928-9370. Steelers and Buffalo Bills next Saturday. We have that for you also on KDK coming up. And join us for tomorrow's number one Cochran Sports Showdown, 1135 after the late news on KDK. We have a lot to debate, and I'm sure it'll get pretty contentious in there. Let's go out to Paul in Pittsburgh, who joins us right now, about the dynamic kickoff. Paul, was it dynamic enough for you?
No, it isn't, Bob. And I don't want to see guys lose their jobs in that. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if this is going to be the way it goes, they should just give, you know, the offensive ball at the 30-yard line. I mean, it just – I didn't like it at all. I mean, I watched some of the games on Thursday night, watching the Steelers last night. It just – I don't know. I don't see it's dynamic enough at all. I don't know what you feel,
yeah,
too.
I mean, I was waiting to see how it would play out, and it's only one game, so I want to see more. But from what I can tell, there's nothing dynamic about it. It's just
no.
You have people who can't move, and then you get no running start.
Right.
You know, maybe there'll be some design plays in there. I don't know what the special teams coaches will do throughout this league, but it just seems to me like it's a desperate attempt to try to bring a play back that they have made insignificant, and the league itself has made the play insignificant, and now they're trying to walk it both ways to make it significant but yet not dangerous. Well,
yeah, exactly.
That's like trying to hit people. I mean, it's a violent game. You have to come to grips with that.
Absolutely. And I agree. And I agree with you, too, just making another comment here. You know, I think more of the starters need to play a little longer in the games, too. And, you know, when it's going to go to 18-game season and two preseason games, yeah, sure, you want to talk about, you know, getting your depth set up and everything. But, you know, guys got to play because it just looked really shoddy last night. That's all I can
say. I agree. Okay, thank you, Paul. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Matt in McKees Rocks is our next caller. Matt, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob. Good morning. It's great to have you back after 2 weeks off. You make my Saturday chores a lot easier.
I appreciate it, Mac. I hope I do.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank you for your opening comments about nutting. I feel like, you know, Joe Starkey and others, you know, definitely don't want to hear people complain, but it almost feels like I work for him and that he probably has a profitability number that he's hoping to get to probably 60-70% for his margins, and that's the way he looks at it year over year, and we have to live with it. We don't know how much money I think he lost when they lost that regional contract for TV, you know, and I feel like all these moves they made were reflective of that, especially with dumping Martin Perez, which I didn't cry about, but it's another starting pitcher. It was $8 million, and then giving up on Quinn Priester, which I don't understand. Maybe it's because he's heading to arbitration, but and then they just didn't pick up what they needed. And now we're just going to watch as the rest of the season evolves to see, you know, we definitely don't have enough relievers. The bullpen's failing, right? We're bringing up guys like it's going to get real interesting. But I just wanted to say I appreciate you talking about it and your weekly calls. And it'll be interesting to see what they're willing to spend in the future on their payroll to get more even with other teams.
Well, that's where it starts. You know, thanks, Matt. And this is what I thought about their offseason. They were nickel and diming everybody. They're trying to bring in a bunch of people. They spent like $30 million, but on like seven different people. That's not how you put together a dynamic team. You know, you need to make bigger plays than that. Even if it's just one play for $30 million. You know, pay a market to get somebody in here who can hit. They desperately needed hitting. They knew that going into this, I thought. Their starting pitching was a pleasant surprise, how Jared Jones came and made the roster and was significant. Keller, you know, largely has been good. Skeens, they bring up, and now you have Chandler. Don't waste those pitchers. You need hitting. Make their life a little easier. And I think this offseason, the whole thing will be how much they're willing to spend on not just a guy for $3 million here, $4 million here, $6 million here. I'm talking about some significant bat. Back to the lines we go, beginning with DK in the South Hills. DK, what's up?
Hey, Bob, how we doing?
How are we doing today?
I'd be better if I was on a golf course somewhere, that's for
sure. Yeah, me too. It's a nice day for that. But there are plenty of opportunities.
For sure. Hey, so I wanted to link back in the kickoff, you know, obviously safety, et cetera. And then I think about, you know, because I caught one of the women's U.S. rugby matches and how violent of a game that is.
Yeah.
How many NFL players do you think would actually survive playing a rugby match? And you know, I'm curious what the concussion rates are in that sport itself. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think it's a matter of the sport or you know, creating new rules. Rather than we're you know, essentially putting guys in armor and they're out there flying around like torpedoes.
Yeah.
So
that's a good thing. That rugby is very physical, and it could be you wonder about. You know, I even go so far as when I watch soccer and some of the headers that you see. You know, there's got to be head trauma in those things. You know, the balls are coming in there at very high rates of speed, and yet they're putting their head and neck in a situation to make plays. Give them a lot of credit, but that sounds like concussion city to me. But I want to see is the game return to a little more of what I expect from, especially in a kickoff game. Again, this has been something, it's been self-inflicted. They've tried to change it to make it safer based on a number of lawsuits. That's the reality of it all. And they've gotten away from the play itself. And now they're trying to bring it back, but not totally. And so I don't know how you salvage that.
It's a completely different sport. You know, now we're talking about these guardian caps and different things. And of course, like, we want to protect the players. Obviously, they're huge investments. But at the end of the day, I just wonder if we'd get back to some normal football play if we strapped on some leather caps again or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, that's one of the reasons. Thanks, DK, for the call. That's one of the reasons why the NFL is not pushing, and I think rightfully so, flag football, to engage younger people to get involved. So there's all you got to do. There's no tackling, no hitting, just flag football. And it's taken off, and I think it's a good way to engage younger people. Real quick, one more before we go to the lines or to a break here. And who we got? Nate in Sewickley. Nate, make it quick, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll be quick. Just about the kickoff. I was at the game last night. I didn't hate it. I feel like there's going to be some opportunities for some big plays.
How many people do you think there around you understood it?
Yeah, not a lot. I'm not going to lie. But I'm ready to deem next week's preseason game a must-win. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate that. 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson got a kick out of that, and so did I. Must-win. We've heard that term a lot, but not for preseason games. Jeff and Cranberry, hang on. You're going to go to you next. We got more calls up until 1 o'clock, and that's when Nicholas Callis takes over for 4 hours right here on 93.7 The Fan. And we're brought to you by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Lots of great franchises throughout this Western Pennsylvania area. You can, anything you want, really, number one Cochrane has for you. So check them out at any one of their 19 different franchise locations. 412-928-9370 is the number. Gotten a lot of interesting feedback on Twitter based on this dynamic kickoff, which most people don't seem to be very dynamic about. So far, it looks like just about every call, people are lukewarm to hate it, and it's after one game. We'll see what happens in the next game against the Buffalo Bills here next Saturday from Acrisure Stadium and live on KDK TV. In the meantime, let's go back to the phone lines, and we have from Hawaii, the one and only Kevin Melikalikimaka. How are you, Kevin, on this bright Hawaiian
Christmas
day?
Hey, pretty good,
Christmas
Bob. Day. I just finished up the walk on the golf course. I keep telling you, January's the date. You got a place to stay if you want to come out.
I'd love to do that. You know, my daughter and her husband went there last year to Maui, and I've been there a lot. I love Hawaii. Where exactly are you located? On Honolulu?
So I live I'm right off the I'm one street back from the golf course.
From Wailea?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, awesome.
In Kahala.
Yeah, Kahala Hilton. We used to stay there. It's now the Mandarin Kahala. I mean, we went on our honeymoon there too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did they have the Dolphins back then?
Yeah, they had the Dolphins. Yeah, you know, and they also, Jack Lord used to live there, who was on Hawaii 5-0 in one of those condominium complexes right nearby.
Yeah, it's like they share the same parking garage sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, you're right next door.
So I'd like to do that, Kevin, and I'm looking for strokes also, just so you know. I'm not coming that whole distance to give you strokes, I can tell you that.
All right, too easy.
What's
hey,
up?
Well, I'm still coming back from my last surgery before I retire from the Army, so it's going to be a while before I swing the sticks again. But
well, thank you for your service anyway, and I hope you mend well.
Nah, I appreciate it. Hey, real quick. So I played rugby for the Army for 3 years, and the reason that you don't see the head trauma in the Army, in rugby, is because of the way that you're taught to tackle. We used to start every practice with like 20 minutes on our knees and have guys run at us from the left and the right side to teach us to put our head on the side and wrap and roll. And so the guys that you see splitting their foreheads playing rugby, which you really don't see that much anymore because of the soft helmets they wear now, is they were the guys in the pack. They were banging their heads together on a scrum. And so rugby's considerably safer, not Australian rules football, rugby is considerably safer than football nowadays because it's such a rules-driven sport and it's incredibly technical. People just don't realize it because, yeah, you know, it's not a big sport except for in the Midwest and the U.S.
What do you think about the NFL doing what they're doing with the kickoff then? Do you like it?
I think it's idiotic. Okay. And I don't really pay much attention to it because I guarantee it ain't going to be around next year. And it may not even make it through this year. Remember, they've done this before. They tried these little experiments, and then they get halfway in the season, and they're like, we can't even get through the whole year doing this stupidity, and they drop it. And I think it's probably what's going to happen with this also.
All right. What else you got, Kevin? So,
hey, real quick. I saw Ryan Clark posted something yesterday. He was talking with Mike T at camp about how he's, bringing Fields and Wilson into the Steeler way and Super Bowl run. You know me, let's just get this out here right now. We have zero chance, and I hate to say it, of making a Super Bowl run. There is nothing that Mike T's done in the last 15 years that gives me any confidence at all that we're going to make a Super Bowl run, let alone get past the first round of the playoffs. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but it's just what it is. It's factual. It's historical. It's who we are. We become an average organization as far as results. It's not who we should be, but it's who we are.
And well, so, I mean, the postseason results, hard to argue any of that because they haven't won. They had a chance this past season after getting in late in the season led by Mason Rudolph, and they go to Buffalo against the team I thought they could have actually beaten that day, and they didn't. So they haven't won a playoff game in a long time, and therein lies the biggest criticism, and they're going to try to do that this year. We'll see. So you're not sold on the quarterback situation at all, or are you going beyond that in this analysis? Like you think it's just impossible
I'm going beyond that. I mean, Russ is a good enough quarterback, and he's proven it before. He could catch lightning in a bottle and get us 10, 11, 12 wins. But, I mean, you know, right now we're beating the heck out of Shelton, and rightfully so. He's probably cost us 10, 15 games this year with horrible situational coaching and or his team not playing simple basics that you get in Little League. That being said, Mike T is the champion of that. How many games have we lost over the years by head scratching, play calling in critical situations, or his players getting TF out of nowhere with just having no sense and there's no accountability for it? Everybody wants to talk.
Well, I'm going
to
throw this number at you just because, Kevin, I threw this out earlier to someone who had the same complaint, and I certainly understand it. But they were 9-2 in one possession or one score games last year, and since 2020, nobody's had a better record than Tomlin in one score games. Now you can 34-11. So I don't know what that means. That means they don't have enough offense to blow people out, I guess. That means they keep it tight and they're trying to be too passive, maybe, about how they keep it tight and don't make mistakes and, you know, being too conservative. I'm not sure the reason, but they've won those games.
And to your point, Bob, I'd say it's the latter. He stated it. He wants to keep the games close and then those weighty moments, you know, come out above because of the discipline and, you know, the talent that he has. And that's – if you're a right above 500 coach, you're going to continue to win those games, especially against inferior opponents. So what I would say is that 9-2 you're looking at, go back and look at the teams they played and won those games in close –
And Kevin, I know they've gotten a break with some quarterbacks who've been injured and everything. So, and I got to let you run because we're running out of time. But I appreciate Mele Kaliki Maka. We'll talk to you again soon, hopefully on the golf course. Jeff and Cranberry, you're up. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'll tell you, man. I think my noggin was mostly okay. I played a little rugby in college, but I will tell you, you play a game on a Saturday. By Monday, the black and blue marks and welts all over my body. I look like somebody took a baseball bat to me. That is a wicked sport, man. Woo.
Yeah.
You got to be – that's a tough guy sport. Anyway, hey, Bob, listen, I I still can't believe it, you know, we're into middle of August. I still cannot believe how many guys in our lineup are hitting at or below 200. And how are we surprised we're not getting through this stretch of tough games? We're going to go 0-30, and I don't mean our typical batter, 30 in National League Central Division titles, right? Which is pathetic. The Cardinals have won 12 division titles in that time since it was created. And we just, like you say, we just need more consistent bats. We need more professional major league hitters in the middle of the lineup. We have all of our big guys pressing because if they don't get a hit, you're not going to get another hit for another
right.
seven guys.
And
in the
Jeff,
lineup.
I will agree, especially if you look at 6, 7, 8, and 9 in their lineup generally. Thanks for the call, man. I got to cut you short because I got to get Scott in before we sign off here and turn it over to Nicholas Harry Callis. That's Scott in Scott Township. And I know who you are if you're going to be Joe Starkey. I'm going to give you the leeway. But Scott in Scott Township, go ahead.
Well, Scott from Twitter, I use that just so you'll think it's Joe Starkey.
Okay, well, you succeeded.
That is a joke. Anyway, I'm a much better caller than him, Bob. Anyway, good to talk to you, man. The Pirates, you and I have talked before about how they wasted the money in the offseason, Bob. And they gave 1 year. They gave the money to guys who would take a one-year contract, the Telezes, the Taylors. I had no problem with the Taylor signing. He hasn't performed. But they could have got Hoskins, Sanchez, Bob.
Right, all of those guys. That's my point. They didn't want to go deeper.
Exactly right.
And they did the same philosophy at the trade deadline. They could have had Jazz Chisholm. They didn't want to pay the price, so they get a knockoff version. And I think De La Cruz is just not that good. He's a right-hand hitting Jack Sawinski.
He could be pretty good, Bob. But again, we got the worst version of the trade deadline. And you could have got De La Cruz a month before that for what they paid for them. For him, that's the thing, Bob. Nutting straddles the line. He puts a toe in the water, not his whole body, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I'm tired of investing, and I think a lot of people are. And it's so frustrating because they're right there with their pitching, Bob. If they would have done the right things in the offseason with bats, or at the deadline, or in June, they would be right there. They've given away games, and there's so much pressure on the pitching staff. They're going to have their ups and downs, and the hitting should be better, and it could have been in the offseason. It's so frustrating. And I'm just not going to invest like I have in the past, and I don't.
No, I agree with you, and I feel the anger there. Thanks very much, Scott. We got to wrap it up here. Scott and Swickley, hang on. Nick will get you on, I'm sure, at the top of his show. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. So today it's going to be beautiful, sunny, great day to be out, low humidity, 77. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 57. More sunshine on the way for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And that's going to wrap me up. I want to thank number one Cochran for being a big sponsor of our program. Thank you very much, Mr. Cochran. We appreciate that. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochran.com. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. And also Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Thanks to all of you who called and those of you who didn't get in. You still have 4 hours with Nicholas Callis coming up right here next. Thank you to Joel Nelson as well for providing all the information and the ones and twos. And I'll see you again next Saturday and also Monday on The Joe Show as we break down what we saw from the weekend. A lot to talk about as we get set for the Buffalo Bills next Saturday live on KDKA. That coverage begins at 6:30 with the kickoff at 7 o'clock. You'll see it on KDKA-TV. And join us tomorrow for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown, 11:35 after the late news on KDKA-TV as well. I'm Bob Pompiani for Joel Nelson. And before him, Matt Harkins. Have a great weekend. Up next, it's Nick Harry Callis at your disposal.